Hi, everybody. Once again, today is the 13th of June, 2011. My name is Jordan Adler, and tonight's call is about defining moments. I'm checking in with you tonight from Las Vegas, Nevada. You know, if you're stuck, I want you to go back to what built the business. The fundamentals will never fail you. So you want to go back to setting people up on gift accounts and walking each person through sending a card. When you have somebody send a card on a gift account, everything changes, and this is a defining moment for most people. Talking about send-out cards, I've found over the years, doesn't work. The biggest source of frustration is when new distributors sign up and they start talking about send-out cards with the people they know, and they get shut down. Curtis Lucy, one of our Eagles, learned this at a home meeting he did a couple of months ago. There were over 20 guests in the room, and he had one of the guests send a card in front of all the others. And you'll never guess, one guest signed up that night. Guess which one? It was the one that sent the card. So Curtis realized, he shared the story with me, that he had to set up one-on-one gift account walkthroughs with each of the others that were there. And so he helped the person that hosted that meeting do three-way calls with those others in the room, and they set up gift account walkthroughs. And it's uncanny. The people that get in front of the computer and send a card, they're like 300 times, I don't know what the actual number is, but they're way more likely to sign up than if they don't. I personally try to refrain from talking about send-out cards with people. I'll give them a little bit of an overview, very little, and then I'll say what I'd like to do is set up a time with you where you'll be in front of your computer and I'm going to show you how the system works. I take my time when I explain that. You can save yourself a lot of time and a lot of energy if you go right to getting someone in front of their computer and having them send a card. Now, after doing this, have them watch the video, and then if they're not ready to be a distributor, offer them the $9.80 per month subscription to test drive the system. If they don't want to do that, offer them the pay-as-you-go where they can just buy points one time. I tell them that it'll allow them to begin to build their contact manager, send thank you cards, which they know they should be doing anyway, and most of them aren't, and get comfortable with the send-out card system. So I say to people, straight out, you know you should be sending thank you cards, and you probably don't. You know you should be sending birthday cards. Most people don't do that because it's so inconvenient. And for $9.80 a month subscription, we can get you at the lowest retail price. It'll help me out if you do it, and it's going to be great for you. And I'll show you how to use the system. And you know what? Most people will say yes to that. If you have some rapport with them and if they've already sent a card on the system, that's the most important thing. Have them send a card on the system first before you start asking them for money. If you're talking about it and asking people to sign up and they're pushing back, it's because you're not having them send a card first, most likely. This is so, so important. I learned this the hard way in the early days. So always go back to the fundamentals. You can help to create defining moments for others by having them send a card to someone that they care about. That's important. So defining moments. Defining moments, they're those things that happen to us when we create that change everything. They either happen to us or that we create them, and a defining moment changes everything. It can be something little, like something that someone says to us. It may be an encouraging word from someone that we look up to, or it might be a compliment from a stranger. Sometimes a defining moment comes as a shock, like a death of someone important to us, or a serious health challenge. It's possible that you had a defining moment when your doctor broke some news to you, or when you got robbed, or when you had a car accident and everyone was okay. One thing is for sure, defining moments cause us to view life differently. We become a different person in a moment. These moments define who we are, and defining moments are not limited to things that happen to us. We can create our own defining moments by attending seminars, making certain choices about what we spend our time on, the people we meet. Maybe you chose to attend a seminar where you walked across hot coals to prove that you can do anything and to break through your fears and limiting beliefs. Maybe you sent a card to someone that you've always admired from afar. There are so many ways to create defining moments. And I think it's important to be aware of the defining moments that led you to where you are today. So think of one or two things that you're grateful for in your life right now. What are one or two things that you're grateful for in your life? Now think about one or two defining moments that help bring you those things that you're grateful for. What's a defining moment? Something that happened to you or something you created a circumstance, an experience, someone you met. It might be a highly charged emotional event, something happened that led you to something that you're really grateful for today. I'd like to share with you a couple of defining moments that really shaped who I am today. And I seek out opportunities to create defining moments that can change things for the better. I look to meet people that can make a positive contribution to my life. I send cards to those that did something nice for me. Yesterday morning, I was sitting with Cody over breakfast, and we were discussing defining moments. And he shared one of his with me, and then he said, "You know, Jordan, it seems that it's really only a few simple defining moments that shape who we become." And he shared a couple with me. And as I thought about this, I really began to realize that defining moments are usually experiences that result in something very simple we begin to repeat to ourselves that cause us to believe, see, or do things differently. I'll share just a few stories with you of some defining moments in my life. A number of years ago, I had never made a penny in network marketing. I'd never signed up a single distributor. But I'd always go to the meetings at this 12th company I was involved in, and I'd always do my best to sit in the front row. In a sense, I was creating a defining moment by being in the front row. After being at a number of meetings, some of the top money earners started to recognize me. Again, more defining moments. Meg Kelly Smith, who was a top money earner in that company, invited me to dinner with the $10,000 per month club, a group of five people, women and men, that achieved the top position in that company back when the company had about 30,000 distributors and about $30 million in sales. And I was invited to a dinner in the San Francisco area. And as I sat at this table with these five top money earners, I just listened. This was a defining moment. This one dinner was a defining moment because when the dinner was over with, I said to myself, "I can do this." It was very simple. And from then on out, for whatever reason, that moment, that defining moment, created, "I can do this," and I believed it. For the first time, after being in 11 network marketing companies in 10 years, and saying to myself over and over and over again, "I don't believe I can do this." But this one time, for whatever reason, I said, "I can do this," because I saw a group of top money earners that were already making five figures per month, and I thought to myself, "You know what? They're just like me." You know, one of those guys held a meeting at the Safari Resort, which is no longer there, on the corner of Camelback and Scottsdale Road in Scottsdale, Arizona. I was brand new in that company, and I went to one of my first meetings, and I had a guest with me. I had invited five guests, and one showed up. He didn't sign up with us, but there were about 200 people in the room. This guy lives in Las Vegas, Nevada, and I'm still very close friends with him. There's a whole chapter about him in my book. It's called The Magic of Momentum, that chapter. Well, I was sitting in the front row, as I always did, and always do my best to do, and there were 200 people in the room, and they announced this guy, who I didn't know very well. I knew him because he'd recognize me at the meetings, because he'd see me at the meetings. This was one of my first meetings, however, and I thought to myself, he was funny, he was a great speaker, he was a fun guy, he'd have the crowd laughing, and I thought to myself, "Wow, I don't know if I could ever be like Al." I remember having that experience, and I also said to myself, by the way, this was before that dinner, I also said to myself, "How did Al get 200 people in the room? I invited five people, and I just got one to show up. How did Al get 200 people to show up?" And then Al invited his guests, or he asked his guests, his personal guests, to stand up. And there were three of them. And then all of a sudden I realized that no one had a lot of people at that meeting. In fact, there were a lot of people there like me that had one or that had none. And there were other people that had three, two. And I realized that that meeting was made up of a lot of people who each had zero to three people. Nobody had a lot of people. In fact, to this day, I've never seen anybody fill a big hotel meeting room by themselves. I've seen people try, but I've never seen anybody do it. Doesn't mean it's never been done. Doesn't mean it's been done, I'm sure, but not in my experience. It was a lot of people who each did a little. And then I started seeing that Al had meetings going on all over the country, and he wasn't even there. And each of the people at those meetings had anywhere from 0 to 3 guests. It's very rare to see somebody in a network marketing meeting that has more than 3 guests. And it hit me. Momentum is really about just doing a little. It's a lot of people doing a little. The big money is in the small money. Small equals big. The big money is in the small money. The big results are in the small results. It's getting lots of people to do a little bit every day. You know, you think of the Obama campaign. I believe President Obama raised more money for for contributions. He raised more than any other president in history, and he did it off $5 to $25 donations, a lot through social media. It was the small money that resulted in the big money, and the people that were going out to raise the big money, they didn't do nearly as well. If you think about the tax base, where does most of the tax revenue come from? It comes from the small money. It's the little jobs that create the big tax revenues. It's the same thing. It's the same concept. So in network marketing, small equals big. This was, again, a defining moment for me. This meeting that I remember, of all the hundreds and hundreds of meetings that I've been to, this one meeting, I remember it. And the reason I remember it is because I realized at that moment that momentum is really just having a lot of people who each do a little. Momentum is really a myth. Momentum is having 20,000 people in your group where 10% of them bring one distributor in that month. So if you have 20,000 people in your group and 10% of them, which is 2,000, each bring in one person, that's 2,000 new people in a month. That feels like momentum. Well, how do you get to 20,000? Well, to get to 20,000, you first have to get to 10,000. To get to 10,000, you first have to get to 5,000. To get to 5,000, you first have to get to 1,000. To get to 1,000, you first have to get to 100. To get to 100, you first have to get to 25. To get to 25, you first have to get to 5. So momentum is just doing the basic, the little things. And then that's why I like the individual gift account walkthrough so much, because it's something that someone can do right now, and they can do it every day. They can get somebody in front of their computer. They can walk them through sending a card. They can show somebody the video. They can do that right now, today. And then as the team gets a little bigger, then you can start to pull teams together. But remember, momentum is really about just doing a little. It's about lots of people doing a little. Here's another one. Most of you haven't heard this story. As I mentioned before, I'd never signed up a rep in network marketing ever. And I was in my 12th year in network marketing, and I finally found somebody in Arizona that sponsored somebody in Peabody, Massachusetts on my second level. The guy's name was Tom Alderink. Tom lives in Peabody, Massachusetts. He did. I don't know if he's still there. And Tom built a group of about 40 people, and he invited me. Now, keep in mind, I mean, I was making less than $200 a month in my network marketing business, and he invited me to come to a home meeting in Peabody, Massachusetts. Didn't have money. My credit cards were maxed out. I borrowed money off one of my credit cards. I had one card that wasn't maxed out. Out of 22 credit cards, I had one that wasn't maxed out. I borrowed money off there, about $1,500, to take my trip to Peabody, Massachusetts. It was in the winter. I got there, and there was a blizzard. I rented a car, and what should have been a 20-minute drive was actually a 2.5-hour drive. I showed up on time to the house. It was night, and it was a massive blizzard. The wind was blowing sideways, and I was standing on the doorstep of this home right on time, and there were no lights on in the home. I thought I had the wrong home. I double-checked the address. I was at the right home. Nobody showed up for that meeting, not even the people that organized the meeting. A lot of people didn't show up because of the blizzard. Some of them didn't show up because our company was having problems at the time with one particular aspect of the product, and they all decided to quit. Now, I stood on the doorstep. I didn't have a cell phone. I had never owned a cell phone. Most people didn't have them back then. I finally made it to a convenience store, and there was an outdoor payphone. It was biting cold. I tried to call them, and their answering machine came on, not their voicemail back then, but their answering machine. I left a message, got a hotel room, and left the next morning. Those guys quit that night, and all 40 of the people on their team quit. But I decided when I was standing on that doorstep in that blizzard that I was not going to quit on a bad day. I'd been doing that for 12 years, and I was not going to do that again. I was going to see the job through. I believed that the company was going to make it, and as long as the company was going to make it, I was going to be there, and I was going to learn the lessons that I needed to learn along the way. Every time you quit something, every time I would quit something, I didn't learn the lessons I needed to learn. And that's why I was always repeating the same problems that I had company after company after company. I needed to learn the lessons. So I decided I wasn't going to quit. I wasn't going to give up on my future. Because every company has problems. Every company has opportunities, and every company has problems. Every company has people that make a lot of money, and every company has people that make no money. It was up to me. I made a choice that night that I wasn't going to quit again. Now, that same company, a number of months later, after I finally got my business going, I'd been with the company for a number of months. I had some checks coming in. In fact, my checks were equal to what I was making at my airline job after they cut my pay in half when they filed bankruptcy. And I decided to leave my job. Against the advice of the top money earners in that company, I left my job. They recommended that I had at least 6 months of savings, and they recommended that my income was three times what I was making at my job. Now, when my income equaled what I was making at my job after the pay cut, I said, I need to spend the full time on this business, and I quit, and I quit too soon. But here's what happened. The month that I quit, the week that I quit, the company lost my entire downline. Now, they were still getting their checks, but I wasn't getting my checks. And I needed the checks. I was maxed out. I had no savings. I was 34 years old with no savings, and I needed the checks. There was no customer service at that company. You could not call customer service. We had these things called Excelograms. You had to fill them out and fax them in if there was any issue or problem. That's how they filtered things out, and then they would study them and read them and filter them to the appropriate department who would handle it. 5 weeks later, I didn't get a check for 5 weeks. I was literally on the verge of bankruptcy. I was not going to quit. As long as the company was around, I was not going to quit. I was going to see the job through. For every 1,000 people that would have happened to, probably 999 of them would have quit. Now, keep in mind, guys, I had never made more than $200 a month in my network marketing career. I got myself to $1,500 a month. And the day that I quit my job, I stopped getting checks for 5 weeks. And then, of course, they made up the money. I got the money back, and I went on to make $8 million with that company. Some of you might have read in Beach Money that I was the kid to always get picked last. When I was younger, between the ages of about 7 and 11 years old, whenever there were teams being picked by the team captains, for whatever reason, I wasn't a very good athlete back then. And I was the kid that would always get picked last. Nobody wanted me on the team, and it hurt. It really hurt. I got real depressed about it. I remember being a young child getting very depressed and getting very angry at the other students for not wanting me, not picking me. And I remember that defining moment, the defining moment, everyone gets to be on my team. I got angry, but it was a choice that I made. I could have let it, you know, knock me down for the rest of my life, but I made the choice that I wasn't going to, that from now on, from here on out, if somebody wants to be on the team, I'm going to let them be on the team. That was a defining moment for me. So really, you know, Cody talked about it being really simple. The defining moments are really simple. One was, I can do this. I repeated that for the rest of my life as a result of one thing that happened, a dinner I had with five people. Another one, small equals big. The big money is in the small money. Defining moment. Don't ever quit on a bad day. Defining moment. Everyone gets to be on my team. Simple. So your defining moments will either fuel you or they'll shut you down. Sometimes defining moments are what holds you back because you begin to say things to yourself that disempower you. It's important to get clear that defining moments are happening every single day. Whether It might be an event, an experience. Whether that becomes a defining moment is typically related to how much emotion it brings. What we do with these emotionally charged experiences or events can either fuel us or they can shut us down. We all have defining moments that have limited us in our lives and others that have taken us to new levels of success. Defining moments are gifts to be embraced. Think about it. Cody Bateman had a defining moment. Many others faced with the same set of circumstances could have become bitter and jaded. Cody chose to embrace this emotionally charged event. He was able to see the miracle and the opportunity that he had to touch the lives of millions of people. The crushing impact of Chris's death became a miracle that's changing lives forever. So what defining moments are you currently experiencing that could represent the life-changing miracle you're looking for? Really take a look at this. What are you experiencing right now, or what have you recently experienced that will redefine who you are for the better? You know, beach money came from one trip to Venice Beach that completely altered my perspective, my freedom, my residual income, the book, the concept that now is spreading worldwide is a result of one moment in time, the thousands of lives that are being changed through Kiva, people that are starting businesses all over the world as a result of one trip to Venice Beach, a defining moment, a 30-minute experience from the mid-80s. So these are just some things to think about. What are your defining moments, the things that are changing you that will alter your future forever? It's not something that happens over time. It's usually four or five things that will shape your future as a result of an experience, something that might happen to you, or something you create, an experience, someone you meet, something that's life-changing, that has the potential to change many thousands or many millions of lives, including your own. So with that, I'm going to open tonight's call and give you guys a chance to say goodnight. And I appreciate you being on the call. Love you guys. And get your tickets for convention, and we'll see y'all soon. I'm going to open the lines. On the count of three, tell me your name and the city you're calling from. One, two, and good night, everybody.
And Doug Weber, Fort Lauderdale.
Thank you. Love you.